Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
I'm going to ask everyone to stand, and if you bring your Bibles or if you brought them, turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 21, and we're going to read together verses 1 through 5, and then we can be seated. Amen? And so allow me first to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, The Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles. And saints of God, this is the final feast. This is the end game. This is the finality. Those of you who've been watching, you know, sometimes there's these shows like America's Got Talent and things like that. There's always a finale, amen? Okay, well, this last feast, prophetically speaking, is the final culmination of the entire world that's going to come, and it's going to come one day. We don't know what year, but we know what feast it'll happen. So are we there in Revelation? I got the Word of God up here. If you didn't bring your Bible, I want to make sure that we get the Word of God in us, amen? And so, thank you. God is so good. And did I pray already? I prayed, amen? All right, so are we there, Revelation 21? Let's all read together and then we can be seated. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of his word. You may be seated. Saints, you've probably heard the millennial reign, the 1,000 years of peace on this earth. Well, God has promised that to all those who love him, all those who are born of him, all those who he calls my sons and my daughters. Listen, this is why Jesus came to the cross. He came to the cross that you and I would come to him by faith, that he shed his blood, that he would fill us with his spirit, and that he would then, from that moment on in your life, care for you all the way into eternity. And how many can't wait for that day to happen? Amen. Amen. We're so blessed. We're so blessed to know that it was Jesus who died on this cross. Now, to our Jewish friends that own this building, Temple Beth Shalom, we've been here by the grace of God many years. And one day, when Jesus appears, they're going to know without a shadow of a doubt that it was him who they pierced. Can I get amen? Because we have, listen, they have the Old Testament. They should know in the scriptures. Let's look what Zechariah says. In the last days, he goes, I will pour on the house of David, on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they what have pierced. They will mourn for him as one who mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one who grieves for a firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, like the mourning at Hadad, Ramon, in the plain of Megiddo. That was a hideous war back then. But they mourned. Why? Because it was a great loss. But I'm here to let you know that when Jesus finally comes, we will not be mourning. We will be rejoicing. Can I get an amen? But it's those that have never surrendered to God. They will be mourning. Can I get an amen? But thank God that God has saved us. God has sanctified us. God has filled us with His Spirit. And now we're heaven bound. Can I get amen? God has done the miraculous in the midst. I like to say it like this. The greatest miracle that Jesus did that we can read through scriptures, it's not the dead being raised. It's not the blind seeing. It's not the lame talking and walking. It's not those that are mute that can speak. It's we who were dead in transgressions and sins that God has raised up. When He can take our life and transform it into a life that glorifies and magnifies Him and now can worship and praise Him, that is the greatest miracle. That is the greatest miracle. Yeah, God can do all those other things we talked about. But the greatest miracle is that we can be here this morning to praise Him and to glorify Him. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so we saw that in Zechariah, but look what Revelation talks about during when this feast takes place. It says right up here in Revelation, John the Revelator, this is John, the beloved. Not John the Baptist, but John, one of the apostles. He wrote the book of Revelation on the island of Patmos. Now, for those of you, there is a real island of Patmos. And by the grace of God, Sister Yolanda and I, when we did a tour to Israel, we did a side trip to Turkey. We got on a boat and we sailed for 4 hours to the island of Patmos. It's so beautiful. And they took us into a cave, and they all believe this is where John was in chains, who wrote the book of Revelation. So look what it says here. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over all the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins, what? In His own blood. We're here because He washed us in His blood. We came by faith and He has covered us, and now we are heaven bound. Can I get amen? Look at verse 6. And He has made us kings and priests to His God and Father. To Him glory and dominion forever and ever. And he says, amen. Behold, He is coming with clouds, and every eye will see Him, even who pierced Him. Did you catch that? It was not just mentioned in the Old Testament, but Revelation. This is a time that's yet to come. This is a near future date that all will see who He is. Can I get an amen? Look at this. And the way He left up into the clouds. He's coming back into the clouds. And everyone on this earth will see Him. Look at this. It says, and every eye will see Him, even all those who pierced Him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of Him. Even so, amen. And then He goes on to say, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, amen. The Almighty God.
Thank you, Lord.
So saints, during this time, during this festival time, for those of you who are not familiar with the seven feasts of the Lord, we have come to the final feast. Tomorrow, our Jewish friends will be celebrating for 8 days straight. It's a festive time. It's a wonderful time. If you go into the courtyard, you'll see the Sukkot that they built. And we're going to talk about this Sukkot and how it implies to us as believers. Amen? But we need to look at the last fall feast. And I need you to see some key words, because if you open up your King James Version or New King James Version, you're going to see words that go, they're going to go right over you. They're just going to go boom. But when you look at them in the Hebraic root, when you look at them in the Hebrew, it gives you a whole different light. Now you understand what it means. It's like finding a word and you don't know what the definition is. You go where? To Webster's Dictionary, right? And then it defines the word. Well, there are some words that like go over your head in the Bible, and you have to look a little deeper. So Let's look at Leviticus 23:2 in the Old Testament. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel and say to them concerning the feast." Did you catch that? "Feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts." So we see here clearly, they just don't belong to the Jews. They just don't belong to us as the church. They belong to the Lord. But I underline some key words right there. And those key words right there are feast and convocations. How many of you have the King James Version? Okay, so if you're looking in your Bible, you'll see the word feast and convocations. When you look at the word feast, you think immediately, oh man, this is hometown buffet. Man, this is time to go mac out. But it's not that type of feast. And convocation, man, those of you who went to Catholic school when you were growing up, you know, this is not something that you learned in your Catholic school. No, convocation, we're going to see what it means. Let's look at this closely. The Hebrew word for feast is also moed. So in Hebrew, that word feast is moed, meaning appointed times. It's an appointment. God has an appointment with us, okay? But it's not on our Gregorian calendar. Our Gregorian calendar is January through December. We're talking about the Hebrew calendar, okay? The Hebrew word for convocation is mikra, meaning a dress rehearsal. For thousands of years, the seven feasts of the Lord are honored. They're honored and they were revered by the Jewish people. But now, of late, the Christian world is starting to see Jesus in the feast. They don't see Jesus right now in the feast. They're still looking for their Messiah to come. Well, I keep telling Rabbi, no, he's already come. He's coming again. And when he comes again, you will know without a shadow of a doubt. This is why it's time to get right or get left. And this is not a political slogan. You either get right with God or you get left behind. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so let's look at this. Let's look at this chart. So back in early spring, okay, the first feast is Passover. For those of you who during Easter time, okay, they always show the movie, The Ten Commandments. How many remember? Every year, it's clockwork, The Ten Commandments. Well, prophetically now, in the Word of God, it's in the Gospels, Jesus died on Passover. He died on that day. They nailed him to the cross. As they were taking the lamb on the Temple Mount, at the same time they were binding the lamb, they were binding Jesus to the cross at the same time. God chose that day to come and die for us. The Father proclaimed that that's the day I'm sending my Son to die for the whole world on that feast. Then the second day, they celebrate what's called unleavened bread. Well, we all know that unleavened is a type of no sin. So they celebrate, the Jews go throughout their house and they sweep out their house, they clean everything because they don't want no sin in their house. Well, they don't see it spiritually. It's not about a natural cleansing, it's about a spiritual cleansing. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so Jesus was buried in the tomb with no sin. See, Jesus couldn't go into that tomb and die for our sins if he was sinful like us. The Bible says, he had no sin. And so he died and was buried with no sin. On the third day, we all know he rose again. Can I get amen? 3 days later, Jesus rises again. But look what day he chose to rise. It was on their third festival called the Feast of First Fruits. He was the first to rise from the dead. Amen. Thank you, God. So as you can see, Jesus is all in the feast. Now, 50 days later, the Jews celebrate Pentecost. It's called Shavuot. It's called the Feast of Weeks. But for those of you who can recall when Moses was way up on the mountain and he came down with the Ten Commandments, remember that? Well, that was on Pentecost. So someone asked you, well, who were the first Pentecostals? It was the Jews. Moses came down. He came down with the Ten Commandments 3,000 years ago. But we read in the book of Acts that God chose that festival, the fourth one, to pour out the Holy Spirit on the church. So as you can see, the first four have been prophetically fulfilled. Okay? Jesus died. He was buried. He rose again. 50 days later, the Holy Ghost is poured out. Now, let's look at now the gap between Pentecost and trumpets. We just celebrated trumpets, what, two Sundays ago? Okay. The reason why this is in the spring and the last three feasts are in the fall, because in Israel, it's called a time of harvest. So now, everything that they planted, they're harvesting. They're harvesting their crops, so when they come to the fall, now they go in and they reap it. Okay, so look at it spiritually now for us. Since Pentecost in the book of Acts, it's been 2,000 years, and God is harvesting souls. 2,000 years. God is He has poured out His Spirit, and people are coming into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, because He's choosing these, so far, 2,000 years, to pour out on this earth those He has called to the cross. And so it's harvest time. People are getting saved. Then we come to trumpets. We don't know what year, but we taught already that when the angel from heaven blows the shofar, the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then if we're still alive and remain, we'll be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. That's the hope of the church. Did you know that? That's the hope for us. That when Jesus comes, we will be just like Him. We will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. I did a word study on a twinkling of an eye. It's faster than the speed of light. It's faster than 186,000 miles per second. It's so fast, we will be just like Him, and we will see Him face to face. We will have a new body. That body will never grow old. It will never be diseased. We can appear and disappear just like He did. 500 people saw Him when He rose again. And then he allowed them to see Him ascend up into the clouds. And the angels told the apostles, don't fear. The same way you saw Him leave is the same way He's coming back again. Hallelujah. So that's the taking away on the Feast of Trumpets. We don't know what year. But now, the sixth feast is the Feast of Yom Kippur. This is why we weren't here Wednesday. Because we had to bow out, and this is your place. So they were here Wednesday. That's the Day of Atonement. We learned last week is that's the Day of Judgment. God is going to take the church out of the way, and then He's going to pour out His wrath on this earth. Man, I'm telling you, for those who have mocked, those who have ran from God, those who have strayed away, whatever the case may be, you don't want to be here on earth when Jesus pours out His wrath, because the Bible says that people are going to cry out, oh, rocks fall on me from the face of the Lamb. Man, it's going to be a fearful day. It's going to be a day of torment. But for the church, us, He's going to hide us in His pavilion.
Thank you, Lord.
We're going to be celebrating the marriage supper of the Lamb. How many can't wait for that?
Right.
Oh, come on. There's going to be a party in heaven. Like no other. There's going to be a name. There's going to be your seat reserved. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You know why? Because all those that are written in the book of life are the ones that God has called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Thank you, Lord. So are we understanding this? Huh? Are we getting clear? So the last three feasts, and the last one starts tomorrow on the biblical calendar, the Feast of Tabernacles. So let's look at that. Feast of Trumpets is repentance. Feast of Yom Kippur is redemption. Feast of Tabernacles is rejoicing. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning, the Feast of Tabernacles. That's when God is going to dwell with His people forevermore. I can't wait to see Jesus face to face. I want to see the God who made me. I want to see the God who created me. And if there's any rewards given to me, I'm going to lay them at his feet and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We don't deserve this great salvation, but he's the one that chose us. We didn't choose him. Amen. So let's look at this in the light of the Word of God in the Old Testament so that we can understand why this is a proclamation to the day that we live in today. It's in Leviticus. Look at this. On the 15th day of the seventh month, and so the 15th day in the seventh month, that's actually tomorrow on the day. To the T. Feast of Tabernacles. Look at this. You shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day, there shall be a Sabbath rest. On the eighth day, a Sabbath rest. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of the beautiful trees, branches. So they go through this religious motions, okay? And to them, it's a ritual. For us, we look back and we can look back so that we can look ahead to see the prophetic significance. That, okay, so how did they operate in this way? So let's move on to verse 41. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it on the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. So when you go to the courtyard after service, there's a fellowship hall. They built a tabernacle. It's called a booth. It's called a Sukkot. But they don't realize that it's all about Jesus. They don't see it yet. Pray for them. Amen. And you shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in the booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in the booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Amen. So we need to look at the origin of Sukkot. So let's look at this. Sukkot harkens back to times in ancient Israel when Jews would build huts near the edges of their fields during the harvest season. One of these dwellings was called a sukkah or a Sukkot. It's a plural form of this Hebrew word, okay? Now, these dwellings not only provided shade, but allowed the workers to maximize the amount of time they were spent in the fields, harvesting their food more quickly as a result. But we can see this now, that the harvest, prophetically, is God harvesting this world and bringing people into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's harvest time. Can I get an amen? It's harvest time. Sukkot is also related to the way the Jewish people live while wandering in the desert. As they moved from one place to another, they built tents or booths called Sukkot that gave them temporary shelter in the desert. I need you to look at this because this just came to me right now. You and I, we're walking around in a tent. This body we live in is temporary. Can I get an amen? But God chose your body that his spirit can dwell in you until he comes back for us. See, God has paid the price on the cross. So we are going to be redeemed back to him by faith. Can I get an amen? Man, I can't wait. This is why when you gave your heart to the Lord and you surrendered, the Spirit of God came upon you. And immediately he washed you, he cleansed you, he has sealed you until the day of redemption. My goodness. So look at that tent when you see it out there, that hut. Just say, you know what? I think mine is better looking than that. Because you know what? God created us gloriously. You know, you may look at one another like, but to God, we are beautiful in his sight. Can I get an amen? Amen. I don't care if you got older, you know, and you lost some hair, you got a little rounder. God don't look at you like that. You know why? Because he has that new body already picked out for you. Man, I'm telling you, I can't wait for that new body. I know it's going to look better than this one. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Diabetes is gone. All these things is gone. Hallelujah. God is going to make things all new. Thank you, Lord. And so just remember, these sukkahs that are out there, it's just a temporary tent. So look at your life as a temporary tent. Because God's going to make you all brand new. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so, saints, God has always wanted to tabernacle amongst his people. It was all the way in the Garden of Eden. Look at this. In Genesis, so when the women saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and they what? They both ate, right? So then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked. You see, when sin entered into the world, death entered into the world. This is why we live for so many years temporarily on this planet. We're just but here. Did you know that if you could, by the grace of God, last night we celebrated my dad's 93rd birthday. And he still has his mental, you know, faculty still kind of together still. But one day, he's closer to being with Jesus, a lot closer than you and I. Can I get an amen? We're far from being 93. But when I looked at him last night, I was saying, Lord, one day you're going to take him, and it's sooner than later. But I know that his Redeemer lives. Because I remember when he was 80, I baptized him in my jacuzzi. The Spirit of God fell upon him. When I got saved at the age of 30, I brought the gospel to my whole brothers and sisters, 11 of them, and my mom and dad, and they all forsook me. And my dad especially, don't bring that here. He would tell me, I'm a Catholic. I don't care about your new religion. Until the day Pastor Leo at Mission Valley Christian Fellowship asked me to speak to the whole church on a Wednesday night. And I'll never forget, I gave the altar call, and there was 500 people in that service, because we had 3,000 in our church at that time. Way deep in the corner, my brother brought my dad. After he told me time and time again, I'll never come to your church. And there he was, my dad was out, and I beeline to him.
Thank you, God.
And he had tears coming down his eyes, and I beeline to him. I go, Dad, I'm so glad you came. I go, Dad, what do you want from God? He says, I want to be saved. That following Friday, we had a home fellowship. He got baptized, and God sealed his faith with God. Hallelujah. It's all about a moment in time that you surrender to God, and God, hallelujah, writes your name in the book of life, in the Lamb's book of life. And once he seals your life, it's a done deal. Can I get an amen? He will keep you. He will keep you. Thank you, God. But God always wanted to fellowship with us. Oh, yes. I found this little photo. God would walk with them. In the cool of the day, God would come down and fellowship with Adam and Eve. But the day they disobeyed, they looked at each other and they found themselves naked. And God said, what happened, Adam? Well, what did they do? They bit from the tree that God told them not to bite. And so God always wanted to fellowship with God. And this is why, way back then, almost 6,000 years ago, God still has you and I in mind that he wants to make things all new. We are here because of God's grace. Before he spoke the whole world into existence, before he created the heavens and the earth, he already knew your name. And we are here because of his grace and his mercy. And mercy is what we needed. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Many of us were so rebellious. Many of us mocked God. Many of us didn't want nothing to do with God. And yet, despite of our attitude and our mindset, he busted right through that and he called us by our name. And he saved us. Look what it says in Exodus here. And let them make a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of its furnishings, just so you shall make it. So God is saying, hey, listen, while you guys are going to the promised land in the desert, and we, how many, How many remember us this past April when we went to Israel? We spent a whole night where? In the desert. Huh? For those of you that went, you can visualize it now. Man, we drove right in the midst of nomad's land. The only thing out there was scorpions and snakes if they popped their head out of the holes. But this is what God told them to make. He said, in the desert, make a tabernacle so that people could come in and feel his presence. So this was the old way of doing things. God said, I'm going to do something new for you guys a little thousands of years later. And so one of the things that God had to do, notice that the presence of God would fill that temple. Okay. And what they had to do once a year is bring animal sacrifices to the temple. So they had to pull. They had to pull these bulls. Man, they had to pull these animals. They knew. They smelt the blood. They knew death was on them. And they didn't want to come. And it was a labor for them to bring them so that they'd be sacrificed to this. But God said, there's going to come a time where God's going to be the final sacrifice. And that we can now enter in by faith. Man, God had a better way, didn't he? But he had to test them so it could be written for our understanding thousands of years later. So we can look back to look to today and to see what's coming down the road. Can I get an amen? Man, we serve a mighty God. We serve a wonderful God. And so this is what God had to do for you and I. The Bible says in John 1:14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and what? Truth. Jesus had to come for you and I. He had to become just like us. He had to become a man. Because all they saw, they felt his presence, but they didn't see who he was. So God, in his foreknowledge, he just blew away mankind during that time. He says, you know what? I'm going to come down. I'm going to wrap myself in a body of flesh, and then I'm going to go and die a hideous death for them, and I will be the sacrifice once and for all. You guys remember this? This is the Passion of the Christ. Remember that movie? It was brutal to see that. But that's what Jesus did. He took your sin and my sin, past, present, and future. And his Father had to turn his head from him and said, oh God, that's my son, my only begotten son, but I must do this. He had to send his son to die for you and I, that we can live again, that we would have eternal life. Because God intended mankind to live with him forever. So Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. He had to humble himself and become a man like us. And he had to dwell among us back then. He had to endure the pain. He had to endure mental anguish. Those who mocked him, those who spat on him, those who ridiculed him. And yet he had no sin. You and I, we were born in sin, shaping in iniquity. We sin all by ourselves. There's nothing that could tell us that, you know what, you're going to be a perfect person today. No, we sin automatically. It's the sin nature that's in us. Well, God knew that. That's why he had to send Jesus to eradicate that sin. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so when God looks down on a believer, guess what? He doesn't see your sins anymore. Can I get an amen? You know what he sees? He sees the blood that Jesus applied to your life. Thank you, God. Once and for all, he came to do a mighty work, hallelujah, in the life of a child of God. And this is why we can walk and praise him. Why do you think we praise him and worship him? Oh, these are these Jesus freaks. These are these hallelujahs. No. We sing hallelujah for what he did on the cross. Can I get an amen? And so, saints, we also see that this is the goal of the Lord's second coming in the book of Zechariah. Remember when we were on the Mount of Olives? What did I say? I said to us that were there, somewhere on this mountain, Jesus is going to come for the second time, and his feet are going to hit the Mount of Olives. Hallelujah. Man, he's going to come. But that day, for us, we're gonna be with him forevermore. But when he puts his feet on the Mount of Olives in Israel, that lets us know he's going to pour out his wrath on this earth for all those who mocked him, all those who criticized him, all those who rejected the free grace of God. God came and died a hideous death for us, and there are people that still reject it today. They still have a hardened heart. They still look at the things. What we see in our society today, they're enemies to the cross. Because God stands for righteousness. The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We need to understand that God is going to set his feet on the Mount of Olives. Oh, yeah. Look at this. In book of Revelation, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. How many can't wait for that day? Listen, when God makes everything brand new, the Bible says that a city from heaven is going to come down and dwell on this earth. It's going to be the new Jerusalem. Look at this. It's going to come down. It's going to come down in Israel. But it's going to be way much bigger than this. And we, who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we're going to be with him forevermore. Hallelujah. How many can't wait for that? This is why that last feast is called the Feast of Tabernacles, because we're going to tabernacle with God forevermore. Man, I can't wait. If you see what God has laid, listen, there's nothing wrong with the things that God has given to us in life. God has blessed many of you. God has given you your heart's desire. But those things will fade away. Hallelujah. Those things will not last forever. Can I get amen? I want the things that will last. And the only thing that's going to last is your eternal destiny with God. Your eternal destiny with God. And look at this. In that day, we don't know the day yet, but we know it's going to happen. In that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And that Mount of Olives shall split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall be moved toward the north and half of it toward the south. Hallelujah. We were there. So this is the Mount of Olives. So somewhere on this mountain in Jerusalem, Jesus is going to come down from the clouds and bam, set his feet up. And now he's going to set up camp. And guess what? We will be with him. Can I get amen? We will be with him. Thank you, Lord. I can't wait for this day. It's going to be a glorious day. Thank you, God. A day of reckoning. A day. Hallelujah. And look at this. How many of you can recall when you were in Israel, many came to the Wailing Wall, many came to all those places to praise. Why is he setting up camp there? Look at Zechariah here. And it shall come to pass that everyone who has left all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of what? Tabernacles. So guess what? All the nations are going to come up and worship the King. Now, by the grace of God, I shared this earlier. I've been there at least 6-7 times for the Feast of Tabernacles. And every time we've gone, God has shown me it's a prophetic march. So during those 8 days, they pick one day where all the believers from around the world, they come from Russia, China, they come from Philippines, they come from all over. And we show up in Jerusalem, and we get in order to every nation. So you'll see all the nations there. You'll see people from England. You'll see people from Germany, from China, and so on. And they gather together, and then they do what's called the Jerusalem March. And so for 3.5 miles, it's a giant parade downtown Jerusalem. It's called the Jerusalem March. And God showed me. He says, this is a prophetic march to you. I heard him speak to me clearly. He says, because you are paving the way. You guys are paving the way because the nations will come and worship me on this mountain. Look at this. This was when I first went. And so it's called Soccer Park. And thousands gather there. They have banners saying, Jesus is Lord, and we're praying for you, Israel. We all gather in this park during the Feast of Tabernacles. Here's another photo. The Israelis, they line up on both sides of the street. Everything closes down for this parade, and every nation marches with their banners. And it's a wonderful time. And all the Jews, you see the Jews behind the ropes, right? They're yelling out to us, Aksameia, Aksameia. What that means? Happy feast, happy feast. And the little kids will come, and we give them little flags, and we give them candies. And during the time when we first went, it was back in 2002, they were all crying. The Israelis were crying. And we didn't know why they were crying. And many of them were saying, thank you, Christians, for coming to be with us. That's when they were getting bombed left and right. And no one was coming to celebrate with them no more. But us Christians came. We came. And here's another shot here. They're so happy to see us. They have hearts of joy that the Christians have come to celebrate tabernacles with us. That was me with the IDF behind me. That's when I attended Mission Valley Christian Fellowship. This is Sister Yolanda. It's a wonderful time. The Feast of Tabernacles. We went on a trip in April just to tour the land. But it's more special when you go during tabernacles. Because you interact with the people. You engage with them. These were these youth. They were there. And just wanted to take a photo with us. And then our last tabernacle trip was with this couple. You see all the people in the background? These are all the nations that gather once a year. There were thousands more on the right, thousands more on the left, and there was thousands more behind me taking the photo, or whoever was taking the photo. But it's a time, it's a festival time, it's a great time. And God prophetically has shown me that we will come, the nations will come and worship the King from Jerusalem. So the feast of the Lord is so important because God demands mankind to keep it during the 1,000-year millennium reign. For 1,000 years, there's going to be peace on this earth. Listen, can you imagine, can you fathom just once? I believe every day we wake up, someone has gone in some place and has killed people. People are going into schools and killing. 60 million aborted in our nation since Roe v. Wade. 60 million. I want you to fathom this. Every ounce of blood from those aborted can fill one of the lakes in Michigan, and the blood is crying out from the ground. God is going to have to bring his judgment. He's not going to tolerate it forever. He's going to draw a line and say, enough is enough. I got to now judge. Listen, judgment is good. We all think judgment is a bad thing. No, judgment, I need you to hear this clearly. Judgment is a good thing. You know why? Because when judgment comes, then he cleanses everything. He makes things right. That's the purpose for judgment. It's to bring things back in order when they go disarray. And look at this, in Zechariah it says, and it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King of the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. So the nations that don't come, you know what, I'm not going to even rain on you. it's going to be a parched desert land in your So I think people will understand we need to come up and worship the King. Amen. How many love rain? Man, when's the next time we're going to get rain? God, we need rain. I'm tired of this water bill. I need the rain. Look, if the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come to keep what? The Feast of Tabernacles. Wow. This is prophetic, saints. Look at this. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This is why we teach it. Because it's important to God. I'm going to say 90% of the churches, they don't teach the feast. They don't. It's like, oh, that was the Old Testament. No. He says, these are my feasts. Can I get amen? Amen. They don't belong to the Jews. They don't belong to us. They belong to God. And we saw what he's done prophetically on these feast days. And he's going to keep his prophetic word. Look at this. The purpose for the feast was to show us and to realize the earth, that this earthen body is not our final home. Aren't you so blessed that this body that we have, that's not our final home? Man, if I wanted a perfect body, I would have to go back to the age of 18. I had hair. I was down up maybe 140 pounds. And I could run like a deer. Now I can't even. I can roll out of bed. Why? Because this body's failing us. We're getting older every day. The clock ticks. The clock ticks. I looked at my dad last night, 93. I go, God, the clock is ticking with him now. Any year now, he can go be with you. Reality sets in. But this is what God said in his word. For know that if our earthly house, this tent, this is in Corinthians, this is in the New Testament, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house made, not made with hands. That's in the eternal heavens. So it doesn't matter. The moment you close your eyes here on earth as a believer, the moment you open them again, you'll be with the Lord forevermore. Can I get an amen? That's our hope. So this is a temporary dwelling. When you look at the little hut in the courtyard, that's temporary. But I can't wait for the new body. But look at this. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. I want the body from heaven, not the one that came from earth. Amen? There's a whole lot of flaws in this. Hallelujah. Every day you got to wash this flesh. I hope you, because you let 2 days go by, you don't want somebody sitting by you are going to know. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be what? Found naked. For we are in this tent and we groan. Every morning we groan, man, Lord, here's another day. Lord, help me through this day, God. I'm talking about us seniors that are getting older now. You spring bucks, man, you could just spring up and go. But your day will come too. For we are in this tent grown, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. You know what that's saying? This flesh that has to go back to the ground because of the original sin doesn't have to remain there no longer because of what Jesus did. You know, Jesus had a plan from the get-go. He had a plan just for you. And guess what? He has tailored a body just for you.
Thank you, Lord.
It's for you. So when you look at that new body, you go, wow. Now, everyone may not say the same, but for you, it's a wonderful body. It's a beautiful body. Everything that God makes is beautiful. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Look at this. Look at verse 5. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit. Notice capital S, that means the Holy Spirit. Not everyone that says that they are a believer, that everyone says that, oh yeah, I believe in Christ, are not his. Unless you're born again, filled with his Spirit, Now he seals you at that moment. Can I get amen? Look at this. So we are always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's the end game. The end game is this body of flesh can be done away with and we can be with God forevermore. How many would rather be with God forevermore? That's right. This is a temporal body. It's here but for a moment. You ever see steam from a kettle? A steam kettle on your stove? And then when it gets to its boiling point, we see the steam. It's there for a moment. And then it evaporates. It's gone. Or when you see a blade of grass grow up. And then it dies and withers away. That's how fast our life is here on earth. It's fast. Ask yourself this right now. You don't have to say it out loud, but you know how old you are right now. Some of you are closer to being in heaven than the rest of us. If God allows the natural to take place, meaning, God forbid, disease sets in, or we get hit by a Mack truck or anything like that. I'm talking about just living life. It's but for a moment, saints. It's but for a moment. Even the Apostle Peter saw this. Listen, when you have, this is why you have to have scripture to line up with scripture. You can't just take one scripture and build a doctrine on it. Scripture has to confirm scripture to scripture. Can I get amen? Look at this in Peter. Yes, I think it is right as long as I am in this tent to stir you up, reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent. Just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. So Peter says, I know I'm going to get persecuted. I know I'm going to die for the cause of Christ. And I believe he was the one, Peter was the one hung upside down and crucified for preaching the gospel. Aren't you so blessed? There's no one knocking at your door, hauling you awake just because you shared your faith. But you can't say that for the Middle East. You can't say that for parts in Asia. Man, they'll bulldoze your house down, take you, and rip you and tear you asunder just for proclaiming Jesus. Thank God we still have those liberties here. Can I get amen? But those look like they're eroding right now. Look at this. Look at what it says in Hebrews. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive an inheritance. And he went out knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And that's what God has promised us. Can I get an amen? He has promised that for us. The Feast of Tabernacles is known also as the Feast of Nations. This was long before Abraham was even read about or documented about. Because it's found in Deuteronomy. Look at this. When the Most High divided their inheritance to the nations, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the boundaries of peoples according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the place of his inheritance. Listen. I need you to get hold of this. Because Abraham believed God. God counted upon Abraham the righteousness of God. And so he promised through Abraham's lineage that the Messiah would come. So when Jesus finally came, he just didn't come for the Jewish nation. He came for you and I, us Gentiles. Aren't you so blessed? So now we are grafted in by faith. By faith. Aren't you so blessed, man? You don't have to go to school and take a test to be a Christian. Huh? Listen, we do not have a religion here. Can I get amen? Amen. We have a relationship with the Most High God. We have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And I'm filled with His joy. I'm filled with His Spirit. I know now that I'm heaven bound. Can I get amen? And a hell to shun. Man, that's a real fiery place mentioned in Revelation. We talked about it last week, didn't we? God help those who would find them place in that place of torment. And so we see the 70 nations. Look at this in Genesis. Look at that. These were the families of the sons of Noah according to their generations and their nations. And from these, the nations were divided on the earth after the flood. Now, I just want you to remember. The big giant rainbow flag that you see now hoisting around certain cities, they are mocking God. Because the rainbow, after a rain, was a sign to mankind that I will no longer, God said, I will no longer flood the earth from its wickedness. But now they're perverting it with the rainbow flag. And it's an abomination to God. They are mocking God this day. Can I get an amen? When you see the rainbow, it should be a covenant that God made with man that I will never flood the earth again. But we read last week, He's not going to judge the earth in a flood no more. He's going to judge it with fire. He's going to judge it with fire. And so, saints, in Numbers 29, God tells Israel that they are to slaughter the bulls. Come up. And it was a time that they would, for a temporary basis, be atoned for their sins. But guess what they were pointing to? They were showing us that God had a better way. The cross. These things you shall present to the Lord at your appointed feast, besides your vow offerings and your freewill, and all these offerings that they did. So Moses told the children of Israel everything just as the Lord commanded. Moses was obedient. He had to show the world that I'm going to obey God. So they came as a religious thing every year. They bring in the bulls. They bring the turtle dove. They bring all these things to be sacrificed. But God was testing their faith to obey. That's all He was looking for. Just obey. If you obey me, I will bless you. You disobey me, curses will come upon you. So why all the blood sacrifices? The blood established the covenant so that Israel will become a holy nation and a kingdom of priests. There always had to be a shedding of blood. That's what God commanded. And who are we to argue with God? Can I get an amen? Yeah. Listen, you want to argue with God and fight with God? I'm going to just say it like this. Your arms are too short to box with Him. You know where God sits? You know where God sits? He sits on His throne in heaven. The Bible says that there's three heavens that we need to acknowledge. The first heaven is our atmosphere before we get past this atmosphere. Once we get past the earth atmosphere, then that's the second heaven. And that's where trillions and trillions of light years are solar systems and planets and stars. I mean, the Hubble telescope can only go so far and take so many photos. But it goes on and on and on. A light year, it's not just one. It's billions of light years. Oh, solar systems are that much apart from one another. And then there's the third heaven. That's where God reigns. He reigns in the third heaven. So He's beyond the second heaven. This is how vast God is. And God took the time to come to this dying world, to wrap Himself in flesh, to come and die for us. This is the love He has for us. Come on. Listen, if you were on top of the Empire State Building, we would look like little ants, like little tiny little toy cars running around. I mean, that's how high the highest we could probably get before you get on a plane. But where He sits, He sees everything on this planet all at once. He knows our thoughts. He knows our mind. He knows our life. He created us. And He knows how to save us. Wow. You got to get a hold of that. You got to get a hold of what He's done. And so, in Exodus, it says, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people." He chose Israel so that the Messiah would come. We're here because of their obedience. Their obedience allowed the faith to come in our day and time. This is why the Old Testament is very important to read, to understand that God made a covenant with them so that we would be grafted in by faith. And so we all know what happened on Yom Kippur and all that, but I need you to know that Jesus chose us before the foundation of the world. How many believe that he has chosen you before the foundation of the world? How many of you believe that you are precious in his sight? How many believe that you are now a royal priesthood, a holy nation? How many believe that now that we're washed in the blood, that we can stand before a holy God in reverence and fear? But the fear is not that I'm scared. Fear is reverencing who he is, that he is God and I am not. Huh? Look at this. But you are. Say that with me. You are. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You are. You are." Come on. "You are. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of what? Darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people." We weren't a people at one time. Oh, come on. Man, I was running with the best of them. I got saved at the age of 30. $500 of crystal meth in my sock. Cursing God. And yet, he still chose me. Despite of myself. Despite of my wretchedness. Despite of my ungodliness. He still came and chose me. And he chose you. Look at this. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. Who had, look at this, who had not obtained mercy. Man, if you would have known me back when I was 29, you would have said, "Man, there's no hope for that kid. My mom and dad forsook me. My uncle, he was an investigator for the DA's office. He came personally to visit me and said, 'We're watching you. You got to stop. I can't hold off the dogs anymore.' But yet, I was physically addicted. I didn't know back then what I know now, that I was spiritually bound. That there were these invisible tentacles attached to my soul, and I couldn't be severed from it. It had to be the power of God to come and sever it from me." That's why there's nothing wrong with 12-step programs. But I found out all you need is one step. And that one step is to Jesus. We didn't have mercy back then. I didn't have mercy, but God still showed me mercy. He showed you. I've heard a lot of your testimonies. Man, let me just say this. There's some stuff. Aren't you so blessed that he's already washed it away and he remembers it no more? If we were to put on this screen some of the stuff we once did, I would be the first one to run out those doors. I'd beat you to the front door. And yet, despite of all that, he still showed his love and his grace toward us. He still saved us from the guttermost to the uttermost. Hallelujah. I'm so blessed to be a child of God. How many are so blessed to be a child of God? Man, listen, saints, this feast is also known the Feast of Ingathering. I want to go to Revelation right here. "And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, 'Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come to thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe.'" Aren't you so blessed? You see, 2,000 years has gone by since that last Feast of Pentecost. That lets us know the Holy Spirit has poured out, and for 2,000 years, God is bringing them in one by one. He's going out there, man. He's knocking on your door. He's knocking on your heart. He's saying, "Turn to me, hallelujah, and I will save you." This is harvest time. He's bringing in the harvest. How many are so blessed to know that a lot of your family members are saved? And how many can honestly say you know folks that are not saved? And we don't down them. We don't mock them. You know why? Because we were like them too. How can we ridicule someone that we were just like? Ain't no big I's and little U's at the cross. We're all equal at the cross. Can I get an amen? We're all equal at the cross. And so when the angel comes, he's gonna put his sickle in the ground and he's gonna do the final gathering. Look at that. And he sat on the cloud, look, thrusting the sickle in the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven. He also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had the power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. These are the souls that God has prepared in these last days that we live in. There's hope. There's still hope. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what you've been involved in. Those who are listening on this internet, those who may be visiting here, it doesn't matter. God still loves you. And he cares about your eternal destiny. He's going to come to your very last moment. That's how much he loves you. He'll come to your very last moment to give you an opportunity to come. But don't gamble on that. Don't roll the dice on that. You don't want to do one of these, and it's over. That's something you can't prevent. A heart attack, a stroke, or something like that. Saints, this reveals the time and events that will happen in the fall during the season, just as his first coming we saw, his second coming will come. He'll come. As I close, and the angel thrust in his sickle in the earth, and look at John. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of the tabernacles was at hand. As you can see, they never done away with it. Jesus didn't do away with the feast. This is not a historical thing. This is not something he has forsaken. Jesus said this on that last day, the great day of the feast. Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. How many of you could remember when you first gave your heart to Jesus? Man, you were on a honeymoon with him. But look at what he says. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given back then, but now it's been poured out. Thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed it's been poured out? Huh? How many are so blessed to know that God is for you and not against you? Hallelujah. God is declaring this because every year at the feast, the Jews are reciting. They go through all this ceremonial stuff. I love when I come in here and I help Brother Angel to set up. We always need a book to stand underneath the screen here. So I'm always saying, Brother, can you find one of those religious books that we could sit up underneath there? God save them. They're still stooped in religion. Pray for them. You know, the rabbi downloads all my messages. He's listening. And Rabbi, if you're listening to this, we love you. We want you saved. Hallelujah. God wants to save you too. Did you know that they need salvation too? Can I get an amen? They're not exempt. Nobody's exempt. You got to come through the cross. There's only way. There's only one way, and that's the cross. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to save us. Hallelujah. Because God prophesied. As I close, look what it says in Isaiah here. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yahweh, meaning Yahweh, the Lord is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day you will say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his deeds among the peoples. Make mention that his name is exalted. This is why we worship God, for what he has done in our life. We praise him for delivering us. We praise him for giving us eternal salvation when we don't deserve it. We didn't purchase this. We didn't go to class. We came by faith. We came wretched. We were clothed with wickedness and iniquity, and he washed us in his blood, and he made us all brand new. Aren't you so blessed? How many are so blessed? I'm so blessed to be a saint of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I'm so blessed to be saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. I don't know where your position is in life is. All I know is that God, for the past 2,000 years, is doing the end gathering. He's gathering the souls before the trumpet sounds. And then that's when the curtain call. That's when it's a little too late. So it's get right or get left. Can I get an amen? This is not a political slogan. It's get right with God or get left behind when he comes. God loves you, and he wants to give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. How many believe that God loves you? Oh, come on. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And despite of what you're going through right now, I believe he has the best for you yet to come. Oh, yes, he does. He wants the best for you to come. You know why? Because when you start receiving the glory of God, the blessings of God, you can't contain it. And you're going to proclaim it. And you're going to tell others how good he is. You're going to see someone that's down and out. You're going to see someone that's going through. You're going to see someone that's riddled with disease. You're going to see someone whose marriage is tore up from the flow up. You're going to see all kinds of things. You're going to see kids on drugs and alcohol. But you'll be able to go to them and say, it's going to be all right because God will work it out. There's hope in Christ. You got to understand that we who were dead in transgressions and sins, that he has raised us up for such a time as this. He's the one that's going to get glory from your life. Can I get an amen? He's the one, hallelujah, that shed his blood and said, you are mine now forevermore. He's the one, hallelujah, that will speak to a dying world and said, follow me, and I will show you the ways of life. Listen, the world doesn't have no answers. Even the political world has no answers. They don't. They need Jesus. Can I get amen? That's what this world needs. They need Christ. They need someone preaching the word. They need someone that's saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Turn from your wicked ways and turn to the cross, and I will save you. You've done it your way. You've had a Burger King life all your life, having it your way. But now follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will show you a greater way. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord God, we love you, Lord. We bless you. We exalt you. We magnify you in this house. And Lord, we want to magnify you in our walk with you every day, every moment. When we rise up in the morning and when we close our eyes at night, that we, our lips would praise you and magnify you and bless your holy name. For he is holy, holy, holy. The Lord God Almighty. Thank you, God. I know that you didn't come to a Presbyterian church where they hear. You're going to praise God. Can I get amen? You're going to believe God, what he's done for you. This is not the time to be silent and to be all dignified. This is a time, hallelujah, that we can worship the King. We can bless Him. We can worship Him. Hallelujah. I'd rather be called a radical for Jesus than someone that's just, oh, well, when's this preacher going to be done? I need to get on and get out of here. Don't worry about those ribs at Hometown Buffet. They still got ribs. Don't worry about the Charger game. They're not even here no more. They divorced us. They're gone. I don't know, but if someone divorced you, why are you still calling them up? Come on, this is the time to rejoice. Can I get amen? This is the time to be alive for Jesus. The Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew and then to us Gentiles. Hallelujah. Never be ashamed of the gospel. Especially when you're around people that, oh, you know, I don't know, they look pretty dignified. No, you need to repent too.
Come on, Pastor, preach it.
No, you need to give your heart to Jesus too. I don't care if you live in Rancho Santa Fe. I've been on those tours. I've seen $40 million cribs. But guess what? They still need their plumbing changed over there. They still have termite issues there. Can I get amen? They still have mold issues.
That's right.
They still have to renovate every 5 or 10 years. But the house that Jesus has made for us, hallelujah, will always be and forevermore a mansion made out of not human hands, but the hand of God Himself.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Oh, come on. I can't wait to be with the King. Hallelujah. I can't wait to be with Him. Hallelujah. I can say goodbye to this life. Listen, I love my wife to death. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. But guess what? Nothing matters because I want to be with Jesus. I want to be with Jesus. Hallelujah. He saved me. Hallelujah. Nothing else saved me but Him. And if you're listening to this message here or there or abroad, I'm going to give you the opportunity. Hallelujah. Someone gave me the opportunity. A custodian led me to the Lord at Horizon Christian Fellowship. I have $500 of crystal meth all up in my sock. I had no answers. All I know that everything was falling apart. And let me just say this. You don't have to have that down and out situation like a lot of us have. You could have grew up goody good two shoes. Real morally religious, but still have not given your life to Jesus. The good moral folks and even the wicked folks still need to come to the cross. Can I get amen? You have to come to the cross. But the place that God has prepared for those who love Him, it's going to blow you away. You're going to be so blown away. And I can't wait. I can't wait. Being a realtor for 28 years, I've seen the best this county has. It pales to comparison what God has prepared for those who love Him. I can't wait. I can't wait to see Him face to face. I hope that's your same desire, is to see Him face to face. And I'm going to ask you right now to pray with me, because I believe someone that's listening to this message really needs Jesus. And there's no shame in asking Christ to come into your life. I had to humble myself. I was my own king sitting on my own throne. I had to get off that throne and let Jesus sit on my throne. And since then, He has made my life beautiful. Even through the trials that I go through, He's still King of my life. He's still King of your life. And so if you never ask the Lord God to come into your life, just pray this prayer with me. You know, the prayer, let me just say this. It's not a magic formula. It's not a wand we do. It's an act of faith. The prayer don't save you. It's your faith in Jesus Christ that saves you. Prayer is just a tool that God allows sinful mankind on earth to communicate with the holy God that's in heaven. And when we cry out in faith, that's when God does the miraculous. That's when he pulls open the curtain and he steps into your life. He goes, here I am. I was waiting patiently for you. So pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give them a shout of praise and glory in the house. Oh, come on. You guys could do better than that.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.